Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mike.
We are going to talk today about ischemic strokes and some prevention. By way of background, an ischemic stroke can occur in patients with atrial fibrillation. It can happen either as the initial presentation of atrial fibrillation or while taking appropriate antithrombotic prophylaxis. In patients, a cardiac embolus, most commonly originating from the left atrial appendage, is a common cause for these ischemic strokes, and atrial fibrillation is associated with more severe ischemic strokes and longer TIAs than emboli, say, from carotid artery disease, presumably because the embolization is of larger thrombi with atrial fibrillation. So in patients with AFib who suffer these ischemic strokes, acute thrombotic therapy can be warranted both to reduce disability and the risk of a recurrent stroke, which is somewhere in the range of 5% in the first 2 weeks after stroke. The trick in all of this is that these benefits of antithrombotic therapy must be balanced against the risk of intracranial bleeding with the antithrombotic therapy regimen. And all of this is even more complicated in the elderly. Edoxaban is a direct oral factor 10A inhibitor with proven antithrombotic effects. In 2013, it was compared with warfarin in a trial of over 21,000 patients and was found to be non-inferior with regard to the primary effect endpoint and cause less bleeding. But what about in the elderly? You found an article for a poem. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2020. It starts on page 1735. The study attempts to answer the question, in elderly patients with atrial fibrillation, is low-dose edoxaban safe and effective for stroke prevention? Mark, is this something that we should be using?
Possibly. Yeah, this was, a good study. And, you know, a lot of older patients who have AFib, physicians may sort of informally decide that, boy, standard dose of anticoagulation, I'm worried about bleeding risk, particularly in folks who are already at a high risk of bleeding. And so they may try a lower dose, but it's not really been studied whether that's still effective. You might reduce bleeding, but are you also losing the benefit? So this was a Japanese study, and they enrolled patients 80 and older with non-valvular AFib, and they all had a CHADS2 score of 2 or more, which means that they were at elevated risk for stroke. In these patients, the physician had judged that standard doses of oral anticoagulants were inappropriate, typically because they had a history of critical bleeding, severe renal impairment, low body weight, or NSAID or antiplatelet drug use that was ongoing. They found a total of 984 patients and randomized them to edoxaban 15 milligram once daily. The standard dose is 30 to 60 milligrams, so this is considerably lower, or a matched placebo. The two groups looked the same at baseline. The average age was about 87 years. The mean CHADS2 score was 3, so again, moderate to, you know, elevated risk of stroke. What they found, the annualized rate of stroke or systemic embolism was significantly lower in the edoxaban group, so it did work, 2.3% versus 6.7%. Number needed to treat there is only 23. As expected, the incidence of major bleeding was higher with edoxaban than placebo, although it didn't quite reach statistical significance, 3.3 versus 1.8%. When they looked at individual causes of bleeding, it was significantly higher for GI bleeds, the number needed to harm of about 67, and for clinically relevant non-major bleeding, number needed to harm of 18. So, you know, there were some increases in risk of bleeding. Bottom line, a lower dose of edoxaban in this subset of patients who are older and at high risk of bleeding did reduce the risk of stroke and embolism, and with some increase in bleeding risk, but less than, I think, the benefit. So I think the benefit probably, in my judgment, would overwhelm the potential harms.
It seems like the number needed to treat, as you're telling us, is 23. The number needed to harm is 83, so not even close, but clearly something that the patients need to be aware of and be prepared for. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.